Tip Moore, a professional journalist who wrote for a while for The Village Voice and many other magazines, has a clear, trustworthy style. Having led a cosmopolitan life in New York, as well as in such exotic locales as Paris and Morocco, he astounded his friends around the world when he announced he had taken a job as administrator at Marion Military Institute in Marion, Alabama. "You live where?" they would say in disbelief. But it was true. Tip Moore decided to conduct a kind of Margaret Mead or Ruth Benedict anthropological experiment. Not visit the South for a few weeks and write about it, as Paul Theroux and less recently V.S. Naipaul have done, but live in the realist South. Live there with goodwill, optimism, an open heart. Not as someone there to find fault or satirize or fix things, but to see if he could fit in and, in time, understand the place. And as one always hopes, understand himself better. He was, generally speaking, treated courteously, kindly, invited to join a church. The experiment, the experience, had mixed results. Tip Moore, after 10 years, has moved away. But his report on Marion, called here Love Lady, is earnest and fascinating. His conclusions mostly match what we all think we already know. But as the result of spending time and paying close attention, his conclusions are earned. The town was once prosperous, now decidedly not. There were 30,000 citizens in 1860, 3,000 now. Apart from a marijuana trade and some meth labs in the country, there are few opportunities, really, for anybody who does not own 1,000 acres of soybeans. Some lists. Love Lady has one doctor, one dentist, two lawyers, one fast food restaurant chain. No hospital, no ambulance service, no clothing store, movie theater, and so on. There are periodic attempts to revive some businesses. They fail. He has heard that, quote, some people like to travel to Australia because they say it reminds them of America in the 1950s. But he jokes that there is no need to travel so far. Love Lady has ignored the past 50 years. No Beatles, no Dylan, no fond memories of Vietnam protests or Woodstock or waterbeds, no independent films, no international films, no Warhol, and so on. And he tells us his white lunch companions are proud of their ability to exclude any unwanted influences. They are unembarrassed, happy in their own ways. The town, Tip Moore concludes, is dying. The word he likes best is decay. From a fear of modernity, an addiction to the past, from fear of the future. The past in Love Lady, he tells us, quoting Naipaul, is a wound, quote, so perpetually fresh that with each scrape of the skin, any sort of federal intervention, any sort of imposition of modernity, out seeps some bloody recrimination. In Love Lady, life is predictable, repetitious, static, and hierarchical among the many churches and the many women's clubs. The educational system, now fully resegregated, he describes as tragic. Surprisingly, Tip Moore suggests school integration in Love Lady, poorly planned and executed, was unintentionally harmful, especially for blacks. African Americans, the majority, control county politics with some corruption, but there is little to steal. Republican whites vote for Roy Moore and Trump, and black Democrats are understandably still angry about slavery and Jim Crow. Cultural segregation, despite sporadic goodwill efforts at interracial events, is nearly complete. Tip Moore concludes, quote, the implicit message from many blacks remains, leave us alone. We don't seek your company. We get along without you very well. Tip Moore, like nearly everyone else who can, left Love Lady, but he left perplexed and not without regret.